Hi. This week the question is, does God expect people to become martyrs? One of our Bible talk messages revolved around the following question, quote, is it okay to shoot someone breaking into your home? End quote. A friend came by my house to do some work and mentioned he had heard about this message being posted on our sign in front of the church building. And he asked me, what was that all about? Well, I explained how Bible talk worked. I explained that we pose a question of the week and we post that question on our sign. If people want to know the answer to the question, they have to call the number or go to our website and listen to the answer to the question. Upon hearing this, my friend automatically said, well, of course we can shoot an intruder. God doesn't expect us to just sit there and let someone kill us. And so this is the common reaction that I have received from people. Another friend of mine said virtually the same thing to me concerning this very subject. And so the question of today's Bible talk message is asking this. Does God expect people to become martyrs? Is it obvious from reading the New Testament scriptures that God expects Christians to defend themselves and, if necessary, kill and maim others in order to protect our own lives and our own families? That's the question that we're asking in this message. First, I want to notice that both of my friends who said, of course we can shoot an intruder. God doesn't expect us just to sit there and let someone kill us. I notice that neither one of my friends used any scripture from the Bible in giving their answer. And so let me begin by asking, how do we know what God expects? Now, the answer to that question is, we know what God expects by reading what He has revealed in His Word. My two friends are using their own opinions. They're basing their judgments on how they feel. They're basing their judgments on what they want God to say. However, what we want and what we feel and what we wish are different than what God has said. If there is a scripture which teaches Christians may defend themselves no matter what, then let's hear the scripture so that we can know what God thinks. Let's not base our faith on our own opinions and human wisdom. Now, to be fair, one friend did offer a passage of scripture. She referred to Luke chapter 22, verses 35 through 38. This is where Jesus told his apostles to sell their garments and get swords. Some of those disciples said, Lord, look, here are two swords. Luke chapter 22, verse 38. And to that Jesus said, it is enough. And so here is Jesus and his disciples, 12 men. They soon are going to be confronted with a mob who is going to arrest Jesus and kill him. Jesus said two swords are enough for the occasion. So here are 12 men with only two swords among them. Does that sound like a group of men who are prepared to fight and kill anyone attempting to hurt Jesus? Now, question, what was Jesus planning with those two swords? Was he intending his disciples to fight and kill and maim anyone in the mob and save him from having to die a martyr's death? The answer is not at all. Jesus was going to use the two swords to teach an object lesson. As you continue reading, you find that Peter draws one of those swords and he tries to defend Jesus. And here's what Jesus told Peter. He said, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Matthew 26, verse 52. In other words, the very reason Jesus had the disciples obtain the two swords to begin with is so that he could purposefully teach them they were not permitted to use swords to hurt those attacking him. Now, if we're not careful, we will eventually rationalize every scenario to the point where no Christian ever has to die for the Lord. No Christian will ever have to lose his life. This is the exact opposite of what the Scriptures teach. In Revelation 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." When this passage says, "Be faithful until death," it's teaching that some Christians are going to be put to death. This passage never says, "Of course God doesn't want you to die or suffer. Of course God wants you to defend yourself and kill those threatening your life." No. No, the passage never said that. Now, before closing, I do want to ask one more question. Is there nothing a Christian can do? Are we supposed to just stand there and let people kill us? You know, what's interesting is that people are envisioning only two possibilities here. You can, number one, just stand there and let an intruder kill you, or you can kill him. And those are supposedly the only two options available. Is there, however, a third possibility? Is there something a Christian can do short of using lethal force? Yes, there is an alternative. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 23, Jesus said, "When they persecute you in this city, flee to another." Flee to another. Fleeing is an option which Jesus himself gives. We don't have to just stand there and take it. We are allowed to flee. However, Jesus never authorized his people to use lethal force to protect their lives or the lives of their families. The question that we're asking today is, does God expect people to become martyrs? I ask in return, is there any death more senseless than the death of Jesus? He was the most perfect person who ever lived, and he was taken and crucified. That means he not only died, he was tortured until he died. It was senseless. And yet Jesus would not allow his disciples to use lethal force to protect him. And as we noticed in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, some of God's people would be persecuted and would have to die. That's a martyr's death. In closing, I would pose the following questions for you to consider. Number one, shall we rationalize the need to ever have to die for the Lord's cause? Number two, shall we rationalize to the point where we ignore Scripture and base decisions on what we think is reasonable? Or shall we look to the Scripture first and allow Scripture to have the final say in our decisions? What will be the standard of authority in our lives? Now you think about this. My prayer and my hope is that every one of us will allow Scripture to have the final say in decisions which we make, and if the time ever comes in which we must face life or death situation, I pray we will have the strength to respond in a scriptural way rather than in a carnal fashion. Well, thanks for considering the message this week on Bible Talk. We invite you to visit our website at www.willofthelord.com. That's willofthelord.com. And there at our website, you may download the notes and the audio file of this message you just listened to. I invite you to call again next week when we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.